Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week in a special edition of the podcast, we sit down with Sangeeta Reddy, the Vice President of Engineering for GLI, Virginia Ginny Hollis, the Senior Manager of Engineering for GLI, and Melissa Arskog, the Vice President of Cybersecurity at Bulletproof, a GLI company, to talk about International Women in Technology Day. This week's program is brought to you by Konami Gaming, creator of Synchros, the award-winning casino management system. In observance of International Women's in Engineering Day on June 23rd, GGB asked three GLI engineers to talk about their careers, the path they took to get there, and their ascent in what was once a male-dominated profession. Sangeeta Reddy is the Vice President of Engineering based in Las Vegas. Virginia Hollis is the Senior Manager of Engineering and works in the Denver lab. And Melissa Arskog is Vice President of Cybersecurity at Bulletproof, a GLI company. They spoke with GGB Managing Editor Marjorie Preston via Zoom in June.
And welcome to all three of you. We're so excited to talk to three women, three engineers, accomplished women in the gaming industry. And we're doing this in recognition of International Women in Engineering Day, which is June 23rd. So making note of it, I would love it if you would do the honors and introduce yourselves. Tell us where you're based and your job titles and maybe a little bit about what you do there.
My name is Sangeeta Reddy. I'm based in Las Vegas. I'm the Vice President of Engineering. We do all the engineering testing and end-to-end of most of the products, you know, systems, all the gaming products, land-based, and you know, anything related to gaming, mostly whatever is done in Vegas and also globally.
Very good. Thank you very much. And Ginny?
Sure. My name is Ginny Hollis. I'm the Senior Manager of Engineering in Colorado. We are based out of Wheat Ridge. My team primarily tests anything that's really in the digital space. So iGaming, online games, sportsbook, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's what our team primarily focuses on. We have teams worldwide that test for that digital space. And yeah.
Very good. Welcome. And finally, we have Melissa, I believe.
Thanks. My title is Vice President of Business Development. I've been with the GLI family for almost 10 years now. Most of my time spent now is on the cybersecurity, the technology arm of GLI called Bulletproof. Yeah. And I am located in Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. So we're all kind of from all over the country this morning. You know, it's fair to say we wouldn't be having this conversation 30 years ago. I know we wouldn't have been because I was growing up at that time. And there was no conversation, in fact. These days, it's very different and it's much better because women and young girls are routinely exposed to STEM professions as an option for their lifetime career if they show an aptitude for it and if they like it. So what was it like when each of you was coming up, when you were a girl, when you were in school, high school, college, and were these presented as options for you? And did you see role models? Did you see other women doing this kind of work?
So I guess. Oh, go ahead.
I think for me, when I started in the field, I had a teacher approach me that I was really good at math and science, and said, "Hey, you should look at engineering." And I just happened to be babysitting for a man that was an engineer, and okay. He helped me kind of move into that space and. When I went to explore it further, there was none of the other people that went to explore the options for engineering were women. Mm-hmm. I studied civil and environmental engineering. And so I was in a very male, the construction industry and the water industry is very male dominated. So at the time I was one of three in my college program.
Wow. One of three out of how many total?
That's a great year. That was going to be your next question.
it sounds like a minority in any case, right?
You know, that's a great question. I think there was probably a few hundred, maybe 500. So you have in the engineering program, you have mechanical and computer science and a number of different math and sciences, so physics. And so there was at least 500, I would say. In the first few years of engineering, there's a lot more people than there is about, you know, the third and fourth year of engineering. And they either weed you out or, you know, you stick in. But there was at least 500 in my engineering group.
Did you other ladies have similar experiences of being an other, you know, standing out just because you're of your gender?
I did, I think, for sure. Growing up, I was very, very lucky to have, my mom was a math teacher. And so she always instilled, you know, love of math, love of technology, things that, you know, that men can do, you can do too. And so that was a great start for me growing up. Never really thought anything different. Got to college, I studied computer science, and very similar to Melissa, I had, I think there was three or four girls, just in the computer science program. I think that there was about 20 overall in the engineering program. And it was just mind-blowing that there weren't that many females around and that I was kind of in a minority situation of, what do you mean that there's not girls in science? So for me, it was a large awakening at that point to see, you know, the difference.
Right. And Sangeeta, I interrupted you. I was going to say, did you meet with any resistance if your situation was similar to that?
No, absolutely not. And I think I was fortunate because growing up, my dad is an engineer, and I used to watch him even as a toddler, him working on, he's a mechanical engineer, and he used to own a factory of his own. I would go with him and watch him do all the cool stuff, and I would watch him build. You know, those were the days when the tape recorders were pretty new, and he used to build them at home from scratch. And I used to see him. And also, I was born and raised in India. I guess I was very fortunate because I think over there, there's a lot of encouragement when it comes to engineering or medicine.
Wonderful to hear.
So, so I guess growing up, all my cousins, and even today, I see my nieces and nephews, everyone is, majority of them are in engineering. So I grew up in an environment where there is engineers in STEM careers, actually, you know, whether it's medical field or engineering, most of them are in there. So that's the environment I grew up in. So I didn't, as a woman, probably it was more of a social aspect of things, but not from an educational aspect of things. I never saw any resistance. It's more about the society that I grew up in. It was slightly, I guess, restricted to go out after certain hours, after a certain time in the day or in the night or things like that. But otherwise, I didn't see much resistance.
That's good to hear.
Yes, I was very lucky.
Refreshing. And, you know, that's the way it's becoming for more and more young women and even girls, you know, coming up in school. This is not anything that they're not allowed to pursue if they love it. And speaking of loving it, you know, I have a couple of nieces who are mathematicians, and I just am floored by them. They would find as much to love and be excited about in a spreadsheet or a list of figures as I would maybe by a great work of art or a piece of music. Do you feel that way about your own work? I mean, are you in love with your work? And what is it about engineering disciplines that really excites you?
Yeah, I think the one thing that I would say for engineering is I always felt like it's a language. It's a way that we think, no matter, you know, my job or if I'm balancing my checkbook or I'm communicating with people, it's math and technology is a way of thinking. The way we, the three of us, look at problems is very different. And how we manage through those problems. When you're trained from an engineering standpoint, a lot of times we're, not always, but less emotional sometimes. We're more engineering logic based. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I had three people I mentioned in my women, and I was the president of Society of Women Engineers. Well, there were seven positions to sit on that board, and I only had two other women in the group. So I convinced some of the men, my men, that I went to classes with to be, you know, a vice president of the Society of Women Engineers.
Oh, and there people you go.
And be like, isn't it a women's group? I go, yeah, but I guess it's a man's group too, because there's not enough women.
That's very egalitarian of you. I guess that should work both ways, right? And listen, might have given those men a great perspective on what women engineers face if they face any of those walls and have to scale extra, you know, in order to get where their male colleagues are. And I don't even know if that continues to be true. Are there still walls to scale? Are there glass? They always talk about glass ceilings and kind of hitting that place where you can no longer rise. I hope that's something that's in the past now, but perhaps you would believe otherwise.
Yeah, I think women, you know, lives change based on just the gender that we are, right? Our lives evolve as, you know, we grow. And the great thing about that for women is we have multiple perspectives of our life. Like, we can pause and relook at our life and, you know, getting married or having children, you know, we can stop that field and start it again. And, you know, is there a ceiling? I would say absolutely not. There's not a ceiling for any of us, man or women or gender. I think it's really how you think about where you are. I know since I've been at, you know, GLI, my positions changed multiple times. And I think that it's all the way that we look at what happens to us. And some women might say, you know, I've been in this senior position, I'm ready to take it back for a little bit and spend time with my kids and maybe scale it up, and that's okay, right? I think that's the beautiful thing about being.
Yeah, totally agree with you both, right? So it's it has changed a lot, definitely. I've not seen a limitation, you know, because of the whether you're a male or a female, but it's primarily, I think, majority of the time it's in our own head. Mm-hmm. You know, because we want to, one is we think we don't belong there. And for people, the term engineering means it's a man's world.
Right.
But you know, it's the brain power is just the same for whether it's a man or a woman.
Right? Oh, it so sure it's, is.
Everyone has to study very similarly and gain the skills very similarly. But I think it's women, if they really want to do, they're multitaskers, just like what Melissa said, you know, women can do whatever they want to do. And especially in this day and age, we have so many resources available. You know, back in the day, you know, unfortunately, when we were all growing up, we didn't have as many resources, but I guess now, you know, everyone should be encouraged and not limit themselves by thinking they are women and they cannot do things. So
right, I think that's the critical piece, is to recognize and address the gender gaps and recognize that there are those limitations that either women place on themselves or that they feel the society has placed on them, and really help pursue those STEM careers and stop the perpetuation of the standard of engineering is a male dominated industry, and that whether it's something that you've placed in your head or not, there is no limit for girls. There's nothing that we can't do that men can do. Mm-hmm.
I think that's really great that you said that, Jenny. And speaking to that point, do you see yourselves as standard bearers? Or, I mean, do you feel the responsibility of being mentors and role models for the young women and then the girls who are going to follow behind you and hopefully, you know, be in your footsteps and live in your profession and do become as accomplished as you all have?
Absolutely. Yeah. Growing up, I had the opportunity to speak at one of my mom's schools and talk about pursuing a STEM career and talking with them about, you know, girls can be in STEM careers, they can be successful, and just the jaw-dropping nature of some of these girls that didn't understand that could be a career for them. Mm-hmm. And seeing somebody, you know, a woman speak in front of them and say, you can do this, you can actually be successful, you can really put everything in your brain to good use. It was fascinating to see. And I think that's extremely important for us to be role models.
That must be wonderful for you on a personal level to see that recognition light up a yeah. face there in the front row and have a change, possibly change someone's life and perception of what their able to pursue in the world. I think that's just marvelous. Well, if a young woman aspired to be you, what does she need to bring to the job besides maybe aptitude and education, of course? What are some of the other things that she has to know, personal strengths and also, actual skills?
I think it's a can-do attitude, just not limit themselves by thinking their head, like I earlier said, that, I'm limited, I'm a woman, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I think there's absolutely no difference. And also just getting away from the thought of, because I'm a woman, I'll be restricted in the environment. No, mm-hmm. At least personally, I should say, I've been very fortunate, with all my male colleagues and my mentors, my leaders and everyone else. It's just for us sometimes to eliminate that barrier and have an open mind. And as women, we should just, reach out, be bold. And I think that can-do attitude has to be there. Sure.
Las Vegas Strip has its first new mega resort in over a decade, and it's opened with Konami Synchros at the core, powering operations across the integrated resort in real time. In addition to being the exclusive gaming system management partner of Resorts World Las Vegas, Konami serves over 400 gaming venues worldwide, everything from large destination properties to cruise ships to local casino stops and entire multi-property portfolios. Visit KonamiGaming.com/systems for more information. And now back to our podcast.
I wanted to ask you a question about the skills themselves. Like, we tend to put these things in boxes. Over here is your creative artsy kid, and over here is your math whiz, or your techie, or the brainiac with the little pocket protector and all the rest of it. And we don't think of those things as intersecting. Do you feel otherwise? I mean, you're in an industry that creates entertainment. So you may be in the back end and the technical side, but there must be a lot of a creative element to that. Would you agree, or am I wrong on that?
I think it's interesting when you say that. I just had this flash of a memory. My first day of engineering school, I guess you would classify me as girly. I guess I'd be one of those people that's girly. And I remember showing up to my 101 class as a freshman, and all the boys looked at me and they're like, "Are you here for home ec? Are you lost? You're in the engineering degree." And I remember thinking at that point, I could either take this as an advantage, or I could kind of just sit in my chair and go with the flow. But to your point, I think the one thing that, I would say with that is how you react to what's happening around you. I think I could have been affected either direction, and I took the opposite approach. I wasn't as, I didn't have, like Ginny and Sangeeta, I didn't have, mentors or people to ask questions, or these situations happened, what should I do? I was, as Sangeeta said, I was bulls, and I got involved in, programs. Then I was much more introverted than I am now. And, I wasn't as bold. I didn't, seek the mentors that I could have. And since then I've been a mentor now for 20 years, 20 years now. This year, I've been mentoring young girls in engineering to build their self-esteem and their confidence to be bold, because that's a skill, that you develop and you have. And if, you weren't around parents that taught you that, to be bold or to ask questions. I sat in the back and I was scared. I'm like, all these boys are giving me a hard time. And I thought, I just had jeans on and I thought I was just being a girl, and apparently I was girly. And so I think, to your point, Sangeeta's point, I think it's, the girls now have a different challenge than we did. And they have an opportunity, and they could go the other direction, right? And it could, I think it's being mindful and aware of where you are and, how you can add value to man or woman, and the gender discussion as well. I think at the time, I just treated them like other people and built relationships with my fellow students. Mm.
Right. So it probably was a little bit of a longer process than you would have anticipated.
Yeah, and also I think creating innovative ways to explain what the roles are like, what the jobs are like, what the skills should look like. And it's just not technical talent. Sometimes it's all about being bold, to Melissa's point. I mean, I was there too, because coming from a country where, you know, women are like told, I mean, not from the educational perspective, but at least from a behavioral aspect of things, we were always told, because you're a girl, you have to be a wife, you have to be a daughter, you have to be a daughter-in-law, and, you know, but for those are your first most important things, and then comes your career. And then we were always told not to talk a lot, just to be very quiet, and, you know, but as you start working and realize what's the most important thing as a career woman and how you can progress, make progress, you know, you just have to learn how to build that confidence. That has to come from within. But we as women can always encourage people through, it could be through stories, it could be through, you know, creating some simple examples so they can understand exactly what they are meant to do. And it's not hard. It's, there's most of the, anything, I mean, I'm sure we all, first day when we went to kindergarten to learn our alphabets, we were all scared, right? Even at that point, any human being, any individual. But when we learn the technique of how to write alphabets and what they mean, then it becomes easier and easier. And then how we progress learning words and reading books and whatnot, right? It's very similar, but how do we become very creative like that, like kindergartner teachers, to help women?
So I think what you're saying is you have to have the skills, but you also have to have the personal confidence. And sometimes it takes time to develop that for anybody in any kind of discipline or profession. It's like you got to get your chops and then believe that you can use them in competition or in collaboration with other people. Would you warn a woman, young woman coming up, that she may meet some resistance, and or not? Or are we really, really past that?
I think that's a good question. I think all of us, no matter from, you know, are going to come up with resistance in life, no matter, you know, where none of us are safe and secure from anything that happens to us in our life. And I think there's going to be resistance, and there's going to be areas of your life that are going to be tough. Seasons are going to happen. And I think, you know, the takeaway is always, you know, you get to a place and then you can see a little farther, and you get to your next spot and you see a little farther. And I think it's a matter of, you know, we've said it more than once on this call, it's attitude. It's, you know, I had to go get my confidence from sports. You know, I was a college athlete, and I used sports and engineering, and those two helped me as a freshman build confidence. And it was the men that helped me with my confidence to deal with men, and, which is, sounds bizarre. And then before long, it's, you know, Then they couldn't keep me quiet.
I think it's worth at least educating the women that they might come up against resistance, but that's going to be the same in any facet of their life. You know, that your life isn't going to be an easy road. It's not because you're a woman. You know, you just need to be prepared for challenges. I think we need to, as women mentors, really allow people to invest in an empowered education, work to promote a supportive culture, because like Melissa said, the support of those around you really helps instill that confidence, really helps provide a good foundation. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as women develop, you know, they become their own self-led leaders. And I think that's really important for all of us to remember, is that that supportive culture of women should be encouraged.
I totally agree with that. And Ginny, what would you say a young woman might want to do if she wants a mentor? I know a lot of women are mentors to many other women and young men professionals, but there must be a process, a formal process. Would you help me? That's a real investment for that mentor to make, and a big ask for the mentee, as they call them. Is there a protocol about it?
I think it's just reaching out and asking. I don't think there's ever a formal or the right way to do it. You just recognize that you know, someone needs to be that lead. And really, I would hope that as women, we would reach out on our end instead, reaching out to encourage young girls, reaching out to, like Melissa does with, you know, her mentoring. It's really important for us to be the ones that are helping and guiding. But any woman that needs support, you know, just like reach out. I mean, it's a hard ask, I think, the first time you do it, to ask for help and ask for support. But really understanding that you're going to get that in return is great.
So, yeah, I think it's very important for the mentors to be, you know, very approachable and, you know, speak in simple terms, being very down to earth, because when people reach out to the mentors, they're always nervous, right? So how do we eliminate that barrier? How do we make it simple? It can be just 5 minutes or it can be 5 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Mentoring, but being approachable, I think, is the most important, and making it easy. And it doesn't have to be a title mentor. We can always mentor during the day, 365 days a week, here at work, outside of work, anyone we see, anyone we come across. So that should be the approach, in my opinion.
Okay. I'd like to, in conclusion, I'd love to thank you all for being so generous with your time this morning and talking about your ascension to these great positions of, you know, responsibility, accomplishment in the engineering field. There have been a lot of, we still talk about the first, so obviously this isn't anything, I think it'll be noteworthy when the first woman to do XYZ is no longer noteworthy. First woman vice president, interior secretary is now a woman, the first. Here in Atlantic City and in other markets that we've seen first women casino presidents. But do you think that pretty much the stage has been set, so these things are no longer extraordinary and they're no longer gonna make a headline? Yes, she is the first woman, that's not the whole story, but sometimes that seems to be the whole story, that, you know, because she's a woman, yay, and it is yay, but it's still not commonplace. Perhaps,
yeah. Yeah, I think the more we say that the ground is set, you know, that's when I think it becomes, people become more resistant towards it. I think, there is still resistance. My own daughter, right? Me, I think I used to talk to her since she was a child, and still when she reached the college age, she was like very resistant to do engineering or go on the technology side. So there has to be some sort of awareness starting from the school age, where in schools, everywhere else, I guess, they have to get some exposure to, you know, and not speak about because you're a woman or whatnot, but at least tell them these are the careers available, and not raise that topic many times that because you're a woman, you need to pay attention to this. I think that's when the light bulb goes off. Oh, I'm a woman, so does it mean that this is something different?
That's right.
Just let it be, you know, just let it be, like, you know, this is an opportunity for anyone and everyone out there.
Right. I think that's the goal. I think the goal of all these kind of formal programs to do this for young girls, for example, in school. But pretty soon, one day, it's not going to be a special thing, which will make it great. Even better. And I'm glad you made that point, Sangeeta. I'm going to mention in closing, you know, I just read a book about Hedy Lamarr, and you may know where I'm going with this. She was a glamour girl of Hollywood in the 1930s and 40s. She also was an inventor who created an early version of Wi-Fi during World War II called spread spectrum radio. Hedy Lamarr is remembered as, you know, a femme fatale of the movies, of the golden age of cinema. And yet I just discovered that she created a sort of a fledgling internet to help the war effort. So, you know, think of all the unsung women who have done remarkable things in engineering in the past, and that's way past. And the ones who preceded you, who set the stage for you to go on, and now you're kind of, you know, charting a path for the women who continue. I guess that's what this day is about. It's only a couple years old, 2017, International Women in Engineering Day. If you have any final comments, I'd love to hear them, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think to your point, so many moms or stay-at-home moms come up with all kinds of wonderful products that we all use today, and women as fixers and homemakers a lot of times come up, you know, I think of many products that we use as women now were created by moms, and they were stay-at-home moms, or some of them never even went to high school, and they're coming up with these amazing, wonderful inventions that we all use today. I just read, you know, a couple of articles about products and stuff we use recently, and they came just out of garages or ideas that women have, and they didn't have engineering degrees or college degrees or, you know, PhDs. It just, they found a better way to do something, and that's the key. Women collaborate with other women very well. You know, they're more capable of asking and will ask, hey, I don't understand how to do this, can you help me? And a lot of times, as much as I love men, they're not always the best at saying, I can't figure this out. So I think that's the difference with the women, is we're more able to say, yep, I don't understand this, I need to figure it out. And so to your point, I love that she's has many faces, and all of us do as people have many personalities and many faces that we are, and they change throughout our lifetime. And so I think that's the key with my closing thought, is just be comfortable with who you are in the process. We're all changing. We're all doing our very best. And I know that, you know, I've had challenges with men in engineering, and it had nothing to do with me personally. It was more them and their insecurity that I was there getting good grades, and I was there, you know, wearing red lipstick, and they weren't quite sure how to take me.
Got it. Anyone else?
Yeah, I guess very well said, Melissa. You know, engineering is not about just building machines, right? So I think majority of the time people may think it's all about building airplanes or building machines. It could mean multiple different things, and it's all about innovation. You know, that's a great opportunity to be able to build something, right? So at every level, our predecessors have set great examples, and I guess hopefully we will, through this video and also through this audio, and maybe through other means, we might be able to help a few more women get into engineering.
Right.
You know,
and they may make the great next great invention that's going to benefit all of us. And Ginny, anything that you would like to say in conclusion?
I think it's just great that, you know, so many of us have had such positive role models that are females that we can look up to. And hopefully, you know, this type of day just encourages more women to get involved, encourages more girls to grow up and have high aspirations, whether it's a STEM career or something else, just being successful. And hopefully this, you know, kind of medium allows us to take some small part in participating and being those role models.
Thank you. Thank you again. It's been very great talking with you. I hope you enjoy your day. I don't know if you're going to get any special cookies on your desk or anything, but you've shared a lot of your, you know, perspective, which is important as women who are actively doing this. So thanks for joining us for the podcast. Hope I get a chance to meet you in person soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by Konami Gaming. Visit KonamiGaming.com/systems for more about Synchros. To learn more about women in technology and the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGBNews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.